short form mergers. This is Brock.
And this is John.
So what's a short form merger? What a weird term.
Well, a short form merger, I mean, typically in when we talk about a merger in the classic formulation, you have a merger agreement, you have a board recommendation and authorization, you have a proxy statement, you have a shareholders meeting, you have a shareholder vote, and then you can, if the shareholders approve it, you can do the merger. Well, short form merger is a transaction that sort of bypasses everybody, and that basically the parent company merges its usually 90% owned subsidiary into another entity without the need for shareholder approval of that subsidiary, even though it may have some other owners, 10% company held by folks that aren't the parent.
And why are companies allowed to do this kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it's the result of the merger is a foregone conclusion. So the statute says, as a matter of convenience, we'll let you do this without the need for a shareholder vote. You know, in a typical setting where minority shareholders are going to get cashed out, it's not like they're left with nothing because they do have the appraisal process to go through. But I think at some point of ownership, the drafters of the corporate statutes, and this is in just about every statute in some way, shape, or form, said, you know what, we'll just, as a matter of efficiency, allow companies to do this. And not have to go through the procedures for a special meeting.
And what circumstances are best for the short form merger structure to be used?
Well, it's sort of the classic minority squeeze-out mechanism. In the transactional setting, you most commonly see these done in conjunction with tender offers, where typically the goal in a tender offer would be to get to that 90% level that we talked about through the tender, and then close without the need for a shareholder vote. In public company transactions, this avoids the need for a proxy statement that has to be filed with the SEC and reviewed before you have a merger to authorize the inevitable.
And what is this thing called Section 251 paren H and paren 251H?
That is a magic potion that Delaware put in place a few years ago in order to facilitate short form mergers that were made as part of tender offers that met certain criteria. One of the real challenges that people had doing tender offers was you know, you want to get to that 90% because if you don't, you're dealing with a public company. Then you sort of have to buy the company twice. You know, you end up doing your tender offer, and if you close on it less than 90%, you may well have to go out there and file a proxy statement to have shareholders vote on the transaction. And sometimes you can do these simultaneously and that type of thing. But it's a pain in the neck, and it's costly, and it's one of those things that if the whole point of doing a tender offer is to avoid the delay associated with SEC review of a proxy statement, and we've talked about this stuff in a different podcast, you know, that really defeats the purpose if you end up at the end of the day not being able to do a short form merger. So Delaware, I think it was in 2013, put this provision in place. Again, it's limited to tenders that meet certain criteria. That's got to be made under the terms of a merger agreement between the acquirer and the target. So that means it only applies to friendly deals. The bidder can't be an interested stockholder under Delaware's merger moratorium statute, Section 203, which is the only 15% stockholder at the time the board approves the deal. The shares of the target have to be listed on a national securities exchange, or they have to be held of record by more than 2,000 shareholders. And the consideration that you're paying at the back end of the deal has to be the same that you did in the tender. Now, if you can jump through these hoops, then what Section 251H will let you do is say, okay, if you've bought enough shares in the tender that would be sufficient to approve the merger if the meeting were held, and very frequently in Delaware that's a majority of the outstanding shares, which is a lot easier than 90%, then Section 251H says go ahead and do your back-end merger as a short-form merger. So it's a really very, very helpful tool for folks who are trying to structure a deal as a tender offer. If you're in a state that allows something like this, and only a handful of them, Delaware does, and I think Virginia, Texas, and Maryland are the only other ones that have adopted a similar provision so far. But it really has made a tender offer a much more viable alternative, or a much more attractive alternative for a lot of cash deals.
What about SEC filings? What kind of filing would have to be made in connection with a short form merger?
Well, it all depends on the nature of the transaction. If you've got a parent company that's deciding to merge out minority shareholders, well, that's a going private transaction, and you'll need to file a Schedule 13 E3 if you're basically just squeezing them out through a short form merger. If the parent company or an affiliate is doing a tender offer to get to 90% or whatever is necessary, then you'd need to file the Schedule TO, which is the tender offer form. But in that scenario, if it's still kind of a going private transaction, then you'd also have to include the 13E3 additional disclosures in it. And there's a lot of stuff that 13E3 requires, focusing very, very hard on the fairness of the transaction, how the board reached the conclusions that the deal was fair, et cetera. So that disclosure is pretty robust, even more so than in a typical tender offer transaction. And if it's just the back end of a third-party tender that doesn't involve affiliates, then that's a Schedule TO. Tender offer filing for the front end of the transaction. The back end, the merger is again, that's you're filing a state law merger. There's no proxy that needs to be filed with the SEC for it. Obviously, maybe if you're a public company, you'll file an 8-K announcing the deal, and perhaps some other cleanup filings for the target company afterward. But it's basically the Schedule TO and Schedule 13E3 type of things would be the kind of filings you'd expect in this scenario.
Great stuff. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.